coming, well, next week. Praise God. Amen. I know it's going to be a blessing, and I wouldn't miss a single session if I can. And if you can't have to work and can't attend, try to watch it on your iPhone or however you can get opportunity to hear it, you know, because it's going to be life-changing. I'm excited about what God is doing. Amen. It's going to be an awesome, awesome event. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So definitely make every effort to attend. We still got a few more minutes. Before I start, though, what I'm going to do, from what I'm understanding, the test we had or the quiz last week, it didn't allow students to take the question twice. After, if you missed it, it didn't give you a second attempt, and it should have been two attempts per question. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start by actually going over the questions, because some people still may not know what was the answer. And then also, too, towards the end of last session, I never did make it to the point that I wanted to make it to. So I think the maybe question four, or question five, we probably didn't go over. But one of the things I definitely want to state, all my questions are coming from the book, mostly verbatim. You know, and I do that intentionally, so, you know, for the fact that if it's something I don't say, you can go back and read that area in the book, and you should be able to answer that question, because one thing I want to do, the apostle stated a couple of weeks ago, is to go line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, following the format that's in the book, you know, backing it up with scripture, you know, giving the illustration, but at the same time, you know, a constant teaching. And a lot of times I'll go over things and over things because I know the importance of getting a solid foundation under your belt. There's nothing like a solid foundation under your belt. All right, it's 7:40 now, so we're going to get into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing here at Word of Life Christian Center, Lord God, at Ever-Increasing Word Ministry here, Lord God, at the Training Center, Lord God. We thank you for the students. We thank you foremost and first of all for our apostle, our spiritual father, Lord God, for the insight, for the wisdom that you've given him, Lord God, and for the anointing and the mantle you place upon his life, Lord God. We thank you that as we submit, honor our man of God, and follow close by staying connected, Lord God, that the same places that he goes in life, Lord God, we're going, Lord God, just like a train connected, Lord God, to the engine. Wherever the engine goes, every car hooked up to that train is going to make it to the same destination. So, Lord God, we thank you that we're making it. We're going to make it to our wealthy place. We're going to make it to a place, Lord God, that you want us to be, Lord God. So we just give you the praise and the honor for what you're doing in our lives. And we just give you the glory, Lord. And we thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. For your goodness, for your loving kindness, and for your tender mercies. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to start off as I know our internet audience have just came on board with us. I had at least two students who emailed me concerning not being able to take the question a second time after they might have missed it. They went back to take it again, but it didn't allow them to, and that was probably a mistake on my part. I should have put two attempts per question, and it always, for some reason, the program always defaults back to one, so you got to make sure you put that two in there. So what I'm going to do to start off today is I'm going to go over the questions, and then I'm going to try to finish where I should have finished last week, because there were a few questions that were on the test that we didn't really go over. And if you internet audience didn't hear me earlier, I'm kind of reiterating. One of the things I always do is I try to make sure that all my questions come straight from the book for the most part. So that way, even if we don't cover it in class, you'll still have an opportunity to, when you read your book, you should be able to find those answers in the book. But anyway, I'm going to start off with question one. I'm going to just read it, give the answer to it, and maybe give a brief explanation. We're going to move on. Quiz 7, number 1. The first way to come against the spirit of honor is to sow a seed of honor. That's the first way when to come against the spirit of dishonor. You know, you want to not render evil for evil, but you want to render good in a situation where there's evil or where there's dishonor, I should say. And so the answer to number one was to sow a seed of honor. Number two, there are six levels of showing honor. The first level is, and first and foremost, is we should honor God. Above all else, first, He is, you know, the one, and He's the reason why we're here. So the first level of showing honor is, number one, honoring God. All right, number three, there should be no inappropriate behavior in the form of blank in ministry. Anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of a catastrophe to be reaped. The answers to that was, number one, it was sexual affairs, blatant sins, both one and two, and none of the above. And the answer to number three was both sexual affairs and blatant sins. In your book, the Bible talks about, well, the author talks about how, you know, in ministry, we number one, we want to honor our own bodies by not dishonoring it. Not getting involved into any sexual sin or anything that would bring a dishonor to God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in this class too, but that was the answer to number three. Number four, in a situation where you have a father that's uncovered, has uncovered himself and has fallen into sin, and the sons speak badly about the uncovering of their father, this act opens the door to blank their father has initiated to also come upon their lives. The answers to that was all of the above, which was, it opens the door to dishonor. It opens the door to the curse. The Bible says that the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, there's a reason why the curse comes. So when a son dishonors his father, and doesn't cover his father's nakedness, and in the situation with Noah, one of his sons exposed him instead of covering him. Well, that was a form of dishonor, and so he was cursed. Well, the other two sons, they backed up and they put a sheet over their father, and they covered their father's nakedness. By doing so, they showed honor. And they were, in a sense, protecting. See, when a father falls from grace, is the son's responsibility to uphold, to undergird, and to continue to respect their father and to nurture him back to spiritual health. I've in ministry years ago, I can remember this one situation. A good friend of mine, I probably introduced him to the ministry that he actually had started to work in as an associate pastor. Well, you know, things were doing really well in that particular ministry, and all of a sudden, that man of God fell. Well, instead of the associate pastor who was actually like a son under the pastor, instead of him covering and undergirding him, he spoke badly about him. And I think I might have shared some of this last week, and didn't cover his father's nakedness, didn't try to restore him, you know, and use his anointing and his gift to help nurture the ministry back, to help and keep the congregation together. There was a split that involved because of this incident. And he ended up going and leaving and starting another church, the associate pastor, and never got that thing right. You know, anytime you're in a situation like that and there's friction or there's an indifference or a sin that didn't get resolved between a father and a son like that, and you harbor that thing, you know, instead of, you know, if you retain it, that sin's going to be retained unto you. But you got to release it, and you got to make sure that the slate is wiped clean so that it won't hinder your forward progress, because it will. And anyway, what ended up happening was that this young man, once he started his church, the exact same sin that his pastor fell into, that he was submitted to, he fell into that same sin, you know, and it destroyed his ministry, destroyed his family. You know, That's when you start talking about generational curses. Even from a spiritual perspective, there are generational curses that happen from a natural perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, if you don't cover your father, you're liable to fall into that same sin. And so, you know, that was an act of dishonor. And so the answer to that one was all of the above. Number five, a man that has an anointing or has been anointed with honor and doesn't understand that he has been crowned with honor, that man functions with. The answers or the questions, the first one was a sense of pride, darkness of heart, his eyes are blinded to the truth. And the last one, which is the correct one, is beastly instincts. Anytime you don't honor your own, you know, anointing that God has placed in you, the Bible, and we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, the Bible talks about you actually operate with a beastly instinct, because instead of operating in the flesh, now you're operating instead of operating in the spirit, you begin to operate into the flesh. Let me touch on that right quickly. And actually that went to the sixth level of honor. It says here, the sixth level of showing honor is honoring the gift of the anointing in you. Psalms 8 and 4 and 6 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of his hand and has put all things under his feet. The Amplified Bible on those same verses, that Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says, what is that man that so mindful of him, and the son of the earthborn man that he cares for him? It's talking about how God cares for, and God is so mindful of this creation of man that he made. It says, yet he has made him a little lower than God or the heavenly beings, and he have crowned him with glory and honor. And he has made him to have dominion over the works of his hand and put all things under his feet. God has placed us in a tremendous position. You know, he has crowned us with glory and honor. And when you don't honor the anointing and the grace and the dominion that God has placed you in, you're not only disrespecting God, but you're disrespecting your own anointing, your own blessing. That, in other words, it's like somebody handing you $1 million, but you turn away from it because you say, I don't want that. I'm not worthy of that. You know, it's your inheritance, but you don't want it. You know, we've been made in the very image and in the very likeness of God. You know, God made man just a shade lower. That word, he crowned him with glory and honor and made him a little lower than angels. The Greek word is Elohim, which means made man a little or just a shade lower than himself. And he put man here on earth and gave man dominion to dominate, to rule, to replenish the earth and to subdue it. God gave that authority and that dominion to us. And when we basically forfeit it and not use it properly, you know, we dishonor God and we dishonor what God has done for us. And so it's so very important that we, you know, honor the anointing that God has placed in our lives. It says, in other words, God has put the God factor in man. So you have God and you have man right beside God because we've been made, like I said, in the very image and in the very likeness of God. When God crowned man with glory and honor, if you don't respect the honor that God has placed on you, then you are disregarding the gift and the life that God has given to you. And here in Psalms 49 and 11 and 12, it says, their inner thought is that their house shall be continued forever and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abided not. He is like the beast that perisheth. Man that is in honor and understandeth it not is like the beast that perisheth. A person who has been anointed with honor and doesn't understand it, he has been crowned with glory and honor. He functions with beastly instincts. And like I said, that was the answer to the last question. Beastly instincts. You don't want that to happen to you. We're here to learn about who God is and what God has done for us and the ability that he has placed on the inside of us. And once we learn how to honor that by giving that back to God, when God blesses you, basically you deny yourself. You say, Lord, I'm just a vessel that I want you to flow through. And I want your presence and your goodness to emanate from me. All that I am is because of you. And I'm just giving back to you what you have crowned and blessed me with. You're honoring God. And it's no different from a natural. When your children honor and respect you, and the life sacrifices you made for them to give them a better start in life and to give them a better opportunities. If they don't take advantage of what you've blessed them with, putting a roof over their head, putting food in their mouths, educating them, putting clothes on their back, and if they don't advance what you have put in them, And instead of advancing, they retrogress and go down. It's a dishonor. It's a dishonor. You know, people who are in prison, and I do prison ministry, and they'll tell me, see, you know, I dishonored my parents. They did everything they could for me, and I just didn't act right. You know, and it's you know, they're walloping in their own shame because of dishonor, and having to suffer and pay the consequences for it. And that's something you don't want to do. You want to honor the anointing that God has placed in your life. Amen? All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to move on to some other areas. Honoring power structures. And that's around page 26 in your book. Honoring power structures. One of the things I want to point out is that the greatest, and I said this several times, we'll say it, you know, even more, the greatest seed that can be sown is a seed of honor. There's no greater seed that you can sow but a seed of honor. And you can follow along in your Bible if you want to, but we're going to use Romans 13 and 7 as reference scripture. Romans 13 and 7 says, render therefore to all their dues. That word dues means something that you owe, an obligation that you're obligated to pay. It says, render to all men their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. We are obligated to give tribute to whom tribute is due. We are obligated to give custom to whom custom is due. We are obligated to give fear or reverence to whom fear or reverence is due. We are obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. Paul says we are obligated to show these four types of honor. We will examine each one individually. Anytime you go into a place or a region, and this kind of applies when a ministry or a minister begin to branch out and start traveling and start having crusades, and especially when you start to go into foreign countries. And I really thought this area was really kind of timely because our apostle in the last couple of years have been going to different countries. He's been to Guatemala twice, went to Barbados this past year, you know, went to Brazil, a country in Brazil. And so the ministry is branching out. And so it's very important that you honor the customs, the tributes, the land, and the people of those countries. Because if you don't honor them and respect their customs, their traditions, their government systems, no matter how anointed you are, your anointing level is going to go down, the author says. Why? Because you dishonored the land. You dishonored the customs and the traditions of that land. And I tried to think of an illustration. You know, when suppose you had company come over to your house, and this is your house. You know, you worked for this house. You're working and paying for it, or you didn't pay it off. Praise God. You know, and you're proud of what you've accomplished. When somebody comes to your house and disrespect you, and disrespect, you know, your hard labor and look at it as though it was nothing, you know, the only thing they're good for is the dope. You know, you get out of my house. You know, I can recall a situation, and it was a miscommunication, but to give you an illustration, a friend of mine, matter of fact, same person who I talked about earlier, who fell because of the fact that he didn't cover his spiritual father at the time. But he was over, this was 20 plus years ago, he was over at my parents' house. And he was sharing some things with me about ministry. Because I was a senior in college and I was about to take over a campus ministry. And so he was just going over some ins and outs because he had just graduated and had actually started with this other ministry. So he was sitting in my den and talking with me and giving me some instructions. Don't remember specifically what he was saying because that's been a while, but I remember the occurrence that took place. My natural father was in the kitchen listening to what he was saying. And you know, the Bible says that though my dad, you know, loved God, but he grew up and stayed in tradition. And it wasn't until the later years of his life where he really began to commit his life more to God in service in his later years. And at this time, he was probably maybe in his mid-50s and, you know, dedicated to work and his job and his family. You know, he gave his time to God on Sunday, but that was about it. But anyway, so he did not understand spiritual things, to make a long story short. My friend, he was sharing some things, and it just didn't sit right with my dad. He said, that don't make no sense. And so he got up and he said, what are you telling my son? You know, and my friend kind of tried to explain some things. He said, no, this is my house. You don't just come here and start ordering my son around and telling him how he should do this and that. He says, this the dough here. You know, let the dough hit you, you know. And but here again was an illustration. Nothing my friend was saying was really wrong, but it was not respecting and understanding, you know, that you had different, you know, people there who couldn't probably understand spiritual things because they, you know, they hadn't been taught up in the Word. And because of that, you know, it was a dishonor to my dad. And by that being a dishonor, he showed him the dope, you know. But I've learned that when I go into other people's houses, or if I know of, and this is just from a local thing, or if I go into a church, good illustration, I don't go to minister to anybody's church without first talking. Like several years ago, an LTMA pastor wanted me to minister in his church. And this was the first time that he was going to actually be leaving his congregation and not being there on a Sunday. So it really, to me, was like, wow. You know, he says, I've never gave my pulpit up to nobody on a Sunday. So they've always seen me here for the last 5 or 6 years. And he said, we're going to be taking a trip. And so I asked him, I said, listen, I do not want to share anything with your people that you have not already been teaching them. Because I don't want to, you know, go in a direction that you're not going in, or they haven't been taught yet. So let me know what you've been teaching on, and I want to stay in that same vein. And while I'm doing that, I didn't really tell him that, but when I ministered, I kept referring to, you know, what your pastor has taught you. You know, all I want to do is reinforce what's already been put on the inside of you. You know, because I have known ministers who went into churches who in one message totally destroyed and everything that pastor was trying to build up because they taught something contrary, and it may not necessarily have been wrong, but the people weren't ready to receive it. You know, you don't give a 3-year-old kid a piece of filet mignon. You know, he can't digest it. I remember years ago, and I'm going to get off this subject, as I share, things just begin to pop up. I remember a well-known minister. Matter of fact, the apostle talked about him last Sunday. He came and he ministered on a Sunday at Word of Life when we were back in the city of Darrell. And we had been teaching, you know, the apostle had been teaching about faith, you know, about righteousness, you know. And so we hadn't had a lot of teaching on end time message of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually the title of the message was Signposts to the Times of the End. And by hearing that message, a lot of people thought, man, you know, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. You know, and it kind of stirred up, you know, people were just kind of, it took them all off edge because they had never heard that teaching before. And I never forget that, you know. And when the apostle came back, he said, I've never taught on that before. And he said, just, you know, set that aside on the shelf. You know, don't let it affect you because we're growing in other areas and God is doing something. So I'm saying all that to say this, you know, you don't want to go against, you know, when this is kind of going back to the subject now where the author is talking about a minister going into an area where there might be another apostle or another man of God ministering and teaching on a particular subject, but you go in there and with a total different message and stir up, you know, instead of building up, you're tearing down. You know, that's a dishonor to that ministry and what that man of God is doing. So it's so very important that you study the area and study the region and the people, you know, of what God is doing in that area, because you want to go in and be a blessing, not to be a hindrance. You don't want to bring division. You want to bring unity and oneness. That's so very important. Let's move on. Okay, there are four kinds or four types of honor to be bestowed. And word bestowed means confessed or conferred and presented to those worthy of honor, especially when traveling into certain countries or certain foreign countries. When you visit a foreign nation, you are obligated to adhere to the policies and the culture of that land as long as what they believe doesn't violate the word of God. So you're obligated to, it says here, to adhere to the policies and the cultures of that land. The expression you hear often, this is the author speaking here in the book, he says, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And that's really kind of fitting for this, what we're talking about, because that expression says, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When you're in a country, it's so very important that you know what their customs are, what they're like, going back to the word like tribute, you know, paying, tribute is when you have taxes, you have governmental rules and regulations, tariffs, even just flying into a country, you have to pay to fly over or into their airspace. That's just a rule and a regulation. Whatever the rules and the regulations that govern that country, you got to abide by their rules or regulations. Because when you don't do that, you're dishonoring that country or that land, and your anointing levels go down. Because, you see, God is a God of order. And anywhere there's order and there's government set up, God is the author of order and government. And so when you disrespect the order of and the offices and the governmental officials of a particular country, you know, not only are you disrespecting them, but you're dishonoring God because you're doing your own thing. And instead of bringing the word and bringing a blessing, you're really, you know, causing more confusion than you are actually flowing in the things of God as you desire to do that. It says here, if you want God's presence, his glory, his anointing to show up, you must honor the laws of the land, its people, and their custom. God is a God of order. We must submit to establish order of the government and the customs that are set up in the countries we evangelize. If we want God's presence and power to flow freely. Okay, the first one, and we talked about it briefly, is tribute to whom tribute is due. Honor with tribute. When you travel to a foreign country, you are subject to the taxes, the laws, the structure, and the civil government of that land. Tribute is honor and honoring the laws and the tax structure and the government systems of that country. Tribute means to pay taxes, the payment for, like I said, import or exporting of goods and services, but also certain levels of government structure and civil government in it by honoring and being respectful of their of their customs. When and I talked about that already, we are obligated to abide by the laws of the land of a country. If you violate a natural law, you can't expect God to move on your behalf spiritually. Paul says you have to honor the government, the country, the laws of that land, or honor the land. When you violate natural laws of a country under God's ordained order and structure, you are violating God's order. Even though your ministry might be minorly gifted and you're heavily anointed, if you do not honor the laws of that country, your ministry will dramatically be inhibited and the anointing levels will go down. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14, we're going to read a passage of what Jesus had to say about tribute. Matthew 12, 14 through 17. It says, and when they come, now these are the Pharisees, and they're trying to catch Jesus in a trap here, but Jesus basically with wisdom told them exactly how it should be done. It says, and when they came, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man and had regard for no person of men, but teach it the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? That was the question that they had. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempted ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. So now he's saying, okay, you asked me a question. Do we pay tribute to Caesar or not? You know, he says, okay, bring me the currency of that country. Bring me a penny. And they brought it. And he said unto them, whose image or subscription is on this penny, on the money? And they said it was Caesar. And Jesus answered and said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. There are laws and regulations in the kingdom, a country or a nation or a land that has to be, that are in place to govern the people that live in those prospective nations. By observing and obeying these laws, rules, and regulations, and aligning to them, you show honor as it pertains to the Pacific protocol, the land, and the country. And that's so very important, knowing the protocol, especially when you're around dignitary or people of higher elevations or anointings or status than you are. When you go into certain countries, you need to know, you know, who are the from a spiritual perspective, who are the apostles or the prophets in that area, and honor them for the work that they're doing. But even the governmental officials know what the rules and the regulations are, and not disrespect the land or disrespect the customs of the people in that particular region. Jesus said to Caesar, by giving Caesar what is his and give God what belongs to him. When people violate the tax laws and the trade agreements, the tariffs and the customs duties, that are they are actually bringing the curse on their lives. And this curse could remain generationally. And that's so very important. You know, a curse is when you when you do something against God's word and continually perpetuate that thing, it not only hinders your life and causes you to not to move forward spiritually, but it can also affect, the Bible talks about the first, the second, and the third, all the way to the fourth generation. You know, it gets into the area where it becomes an iniquity, where now it's generational, you know, because somebody did something that was wrong against God's word, and now it perpetuates. And until you sow a seed of honor, sow a seed of respect, and remove that curse, remove that blemish from your lineage, it's going to perpetuate itself. And that's so very important, and that's why, you know, you give honor to whom honor is due. The next thing is custom to whom custom is due. Custom is honoring the people of the land. You are to honor the people, their customs, provide their custom do not violate the scripture requirements of human life. Anytime you go into a place in the world, and you might have a tremendous anointing, but if you dishonor the people, their native customs, the anointing levels go down. Every people or ethnic group, tribe or nationality has their individual cultures that make up their uniqueness of the people there. And when you disrespect and honor the people, their, you know, their way of doing things may be different from you. But when you disrespect them, you're not honoring them, and they're not going to receive what you have to say. And that's, I'm trying to think of an illustration of something that had happened where, give you an illustration, I'm trying to see if I can word it properly, but I remember reading a book years ago where two missionaries, a husband and wife, went into a country in Africa, and they were doing missionary work there. And one evening they were in their tent being intimate. And just so happened, one of the leaders went to talk to them, not knowing that they were having a private moment, walked up on them. And what he saw, which was totally natural in their country, because of, and I'm not going to go into the whole detail, but it was taboo in their country. And though they were doing a good work, not knowing the customs, you know, even though they were in their tent, but not knowing the customs of that country, that individual, you know, had soldiers come in and they were executed, because, you know, that particular, whatever was going on, and the book didn't go into the detail, was taboo, and it was subject to death, you know. Simple. I mean, that's an extreme case, but it's so very important that when a ministry goes into an area, that you know what the mores or the social atmosphere, what's acceptable and not acceptable, because you can say something and actually dishonor the people, not knowing this is something that they cherish, or this is something that they don't hold highly in high esteem, by not knowing the customs, not knowing the ways of the people in that particular country. Honor the people, the land, by respecting their culture. Show honor to the people of that land. If customs and cultures do not violate scripture standards and requirements for living, the customs and the cultures must be respected, observed, and kept, even preserved. To disrespect and to disregard custom shows dishonor, and therefore the reward of dishonor will be reaped. Okay, the next area we're going to talk about is honor with fear. Honor with fear. Now, that word fear doesn't mean a frightful fear, but it's a reverential fear. It's a respect and an honor for people of certain status. Fear is honoring ranks and spiritual dignitaries of the land, apostles and prophets of the land, the apostolic voice of that region. Know who they are, And when you know who they are, when you go before them into their region, you don't want to not show proper respect and honor. Matter of fact, give you an illustration. When a prime minister or an ambassador comes to a country, you know, other dignitaries are aware that they're in the area. They make their presence known. And so there's just certain protocol that's followed from that particular, from those ranks. You know, when a general comes into a region of a military position, the first thing he does, he asks who's in authority, who's in command, and he makes his presence known and shows respect because this is his platoon or this is his battalion. He doesn't just come in and just take over. From a spiritual perspective, you want to honor those who are in, who are, you know, apostles and prophets of that region. You know, the author talks about it's not even a bad idea that when you're in an area and you know there's an apostolic father in that area, to sow a seed into his life. I never forget years ago, our apostle, when he would minister somebody else's material, and begin to share things that he's learned from another man of God, he made it known that I am sowing into his life because I'm getting information that's a blessing to me and I'm feeding my congregation. And so I'm sowing into him, you know. And so when you're in a region and you're ministering, it's so very important that you honor and respect which is a reverential fear and respect for the dignitaries of that region. And for this reason, it's always important to research the area before you go there. Fear is reverence and respect for the spiritual dignitaries that God has set in place in that area. All human beings are equal, but not all have the same gifts, anointings, endowments, and abilities. Jesus said, in the area of the talents, you know, he gave talents according to their several abilities, you know, different ranks, different levels, different anointings. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods." Verse 15, "And said unto, and unto one he gave five talents, unto another he gave two, and to another he gave one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." This illustration here shows that, you know, there's different ranks. In the kingdom of heaven, there's different ranks, there's different levels, there's different authorities, and we are to honor the levels and the abilities and the talents. Especially when somebody is more anointed, more gifted than you, you want to show honor because the anointing that's on their life, you want that anointing on your life. And the only way to get that is to show honor by sowing seeds of honor, by respecting, by sitting and receiving the teaching, you know, doing things that contemplate honor, that I'm here respecting you and respecting the anointing that's on your life. And it's and I know that as I respect and honor and show, you know, my submission and my loyalty to you, well, then what's on you is going to be reciprocated unto me. And that's so very important. Fear means that the respect and the honor must be given to those whom God has graced with higher levels of abilities, talents, giftings, and anointings. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all men, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king." You know, you want to honor those who are in authority. Honor the king. You know, you honor all men, you love the brethren, you fear God, have a reverential respect for God, and you honor the king. Clearly seen here, honor must be shown to whom honor is due. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Sometimes prophets an apostle enter a region and speak a word to a specific church without researching the dynamics of the fathers, the apostles, and the prophets, and the generational word in that region. When they do this, it upsets equilibrium. Thank you. Of what is happening in that region. So that's why it's so important to know the area that you're going into, know what's being taught, and know what the people have been receiving. So when you go, you're not operating in disrespect or dishonor, but you're there to be a blessing. Number four, honor the land. This is honoring the anointing in the land. One way of doing this is to sow an offering into the higher ranking apostolic gifts with greater anointings in the region you are ministering. Without necessarily seeing them, just dropping off an offering or a gift, is honoring the land. When you show that kind of honor, there is automatic spiritual reciprocation. Remember, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. It's so very important that we honor customs, honor, give tribute to whom tribute is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. I mean, we have to do that because it's just, Paul says, to make sure that we don't dishonor, because when you walk in dishonor, God's blessing, God's goodness, and all that God has for you can't come upon you because you're in dishonor, and actually you're in disobedience, because the Bible says to show honor whom honor is due. How are we doing on our time? We got about 5 minutes? All right. Without necessarily seeing them, like I said, you can just drop off. There's times I've just, out of honor, just went off and just sowed a seed. If I'm blessed by an anointing or by an anointed man of God, I make sure that a seed is sown, because that's showing honor to whom honor is due. If you are studying, and I said this earlier, if you're studying behind an apostle, Apostle Jonathan David, our apostle's been studying behind him and other apostles. He makes it known that I'm sowing into that anointing, because I'm sowing into that apostolic gift, and I'm honoring that gift with a seed, because the Bible says we should not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. In other words, when good solid teaching is coming forth and you're receiving it, they're sowing unto you spiritual things, and you reciprocate your and honor by sowing your carnal or your finances or your love offering into their lives, so that the anointing that's on them can come upon you, and so that you can begin to reap the spiritual benefits, the blessings that's on their lives. That's one way of receiving a mantle or receiving the blessings upon that ministry, is by honoring and sowing into that ministry and that man of God. Amen. All right, we're going to stop here. Next week is going to be Prosperity Revival, and I'm looking forward to seeing. And I just want to challenge our online students. I know we have some who are all miles away, but if you can make it to Darrow next week, by all means do so. Your life is going to be impacted. It's one thing to hear the apostle over the internet, over Roku, CDs or whatever, but when you hear where the anointing of God is coming forth, it's going to revolutionize and change your life. So I just want to challenge you to make every effort to try to make the meetings, and if you can't make it, by all means, definitely go online and LeroyThompson.tv and make sure that you're a part of all the day and the night sessions. Amen? We'll see you guys next time.